WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. After years of wrestling with the aftermath of the Great Recession, an improved national economy is helping to ease the pressure on state government budgets. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, budget officials from Connecticut to Utah indicate that their fiscal outlook has brightened. The state of Minnesota is on pace for a nearly $330 million surplus. The state of Utah will pull in $500 million in additional cash during the coming fiscal year. In Connecticut, which has been troubled by corporate departures and fiscal weakness for years, state budget officials indicated late last month that there will be a projected $1.3 billion surge in excess income tax revenue. True, Connecticut's windfall comes with several key caveats. About half of it is attributable to one-time payments from hedge fund managers racing to beat a tax deadline. Also, many Connecticut residents likely cashed in appreciated stock at the end of 2017 to pay taxes on capital gains in order to take full advantage of state and local tax deductions, which the new federal tax law has capped. The upshot is that while many states are having a great fiscal year, they shouldn't count on next year being quite so great. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Here's a simple way to expand the global economy and broaden prosperity: eyeglasses. Research indicates that more than a billion people around the world need eyeglasses but don't have them. As pointed out by writer Andrew Jacobs, some estimates put that figure closer to 2.5 billion people. They include thousands of nearsighted Nigerian truck drivers who strain to see pedestrians darting across the road, as well as middle-aged Bolivian coffee farmers whose inability to see objects up close renders it difficult to identify ripe beans for harvest. There are also tens of millions of children whose families cannot afford an eye exam or prescription eyeglasses that would allow them to succeed in school. Leaders at Our Children's Vision, an organization that supplies free or inexpensive eyeglasses across Africa, indicate that many children are classified as poor learners, don't progress at school, and eventually give up. Scourges like tuberculosis, AIDS, and malaria receive much attention, perhaps at the expense of treating more mundane issues like delivering eyeglasses. In 2015, only $37 million was spent on delivering eyeglasses to people in the developing world. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. As is well known, America is getting older. A growing number of baby boomers is entering retirement, and there are concerns that there won't be nearly enough workers to pay into Social Security, Medicare, pension funds, and other mechanisms by which income and services are supplied to retirees. But America is hardly alone. In some societies, the absolute number of working people is in decline, including in both China and in France. But whereas the numbers of working-age people in France is expected to decline slowly over the next few decades, the number of working-age people in China will soon plunge. As indicated by The Economist magazine, the number of Chinese who are ages 15 to 64, which peaked at just over 1 billion in 2014, is expected to decline by 19 million between 2015 and 2025. The following decade, the number of working-age Chinese will decline by another 68 million people, and then by 76 million people the decade after that. Many people around the world retire before the age of 65. Thanks to generous early retirement policies, only 41% of Europeans aged between 60 and 64 are in paid work. Among 65 to 74-year-old Europeans, the proportion is less than 10%. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Nearly one in two Americans expects to be financially uncomfortable in retirement. Here's the good news. Many of these pessimists turn out to be incorrect. According to newly available survey data from Gallup, prior to retirement, only half of Americans foresee a comfortable retirement. But after retirement, the share of people who indicate that they are comfortable surges to nearly 80%. As indicated by CNBC, it appears that prior to retirement, many people are unnerved by continuous discussions regarding America's retirement crisis and the possible disappearance of Social Security. Not surprisingly, retirees with more resources are likely to indicate that they are comfortable. More than half of those with an income of $30,000 a year or less say they're uncomfortable, compared with only 2% of retirees who make $75,000 or more. Separately, new analysis from the Employee Benefit Research Institute indicates that one reason for concern is that more older Americans are in debt. In 2016, the average debt in families in which the head of the household is aged 75 or older was nearly $37,000. That's up from around $30,000 in 2010. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. While women may lag men in terms of average compensation in America, they are taking the lead along other dimensions, including in terms of purchasing real estate. According to data from the National Association of Realtors' Profile of Home Buyers and Sellers, single women are purchasing homes at twice the rate of single men. What's more, this has been going on for several years. As indicated by CNBC, married couples continue to comprise the largest share of home buyers. Last year, the blissfully married represented 65% of purchasers. But single women came in second at 18%. Only 7% of buyers were single men. This information may have put visions of younger women at the settlement table, scooping up properties while their young male counterparts stay behind in apartments or strive to master video games. But data indicate that it is primarily older women who are choosing to invest in real estate. The largest share of single female buyers is to be found in the 72 and older age group, according to the National Association of Realtors. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.